Hey, we're going to continue in along the lines of 3 John. We started talking about it a couple of weeks ago, and I want to read it real quick here. In 3 John, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Now, some of you may have noticed there's the baptism tank here on the platform here this morning. Well, we're having a baptism this morning. And I don't remember if I got it back to them there or not, but in Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 32, it says, "Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father who is in heaven." Now we're talking about prosperity. Now I call this one of the biggest forms of spiritual prosperity that there is. Christina is being baptized here this morning. And we got to think of it this way. Christina's name is being pronounced, is being announced in heaven this morning. He says, if you confess me before men, which she confessed Jesus as her Savior, but she's confessing it here publicly in front of you guys, going to get in this tank here, going to go down, going to come up. That old man is staying down there. He's not coming back up again. He's buried. And she's confessing that here before you publicly. So it says here that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Her name is being rung out in heaven this morning. So Christina, imagine this. Your name is coming from the lips of Jesus this morning and being announced in heaven this morning. To me, that's one of the biggest. We're talking about prosperity here. We're looking at in 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul, just as your spirit, just as the spiritual things of your life prosper." To me, this is one of the most prosperous things that we could do spiritually, is to accept Jesus as our Savior and confess him before men, because now we're in the family. Now we're subject to his teachings, like Dave was reading this morning in Deuteronomy. We're able to receive what it is that he has for us because we're his kid, and he wants to give us everything. I want to give my kids everything. My wife tells me I give my grandkids too much and spend too much money on them. I don't care. I like to do it. But we're going to do that here this morning. To me, this is one of the most prosperous things that we can do. Because it says in that verse, you can have all the things of this earth. You can have all the wealth, the health of this earth. But it says that you have those just as your soul prospers. If you're not prospering spiritually, you can't have the other things. And he wants to give us the other things. Dave read off 14 or 16 verses here this morning. Those are the things that he wants to give us. He wants us blessed going out. He wants us blessed coming in. He wants us blessed all around in every form and in every fashion. I want to dive into that. Now, am I trying to use the Bible as a get rich quick? No. But if he said he's going to do it, if he says he's promised me something, if I promise my kids something, they expect me to give it to them. If my dad said he was going to give a whipping, I expected him to give me a whipping. Now, I will say, I was the good kid. I was the obedient kid. I still do what my mom tells me to do. And don't question it. Now, my sister, on the other hand, we had a nickname for her. She was a road warrior. She's not now, though. She's okay. But in these 3 verses, we're going to continue talking about the believer prospering this morning, and probably over the next couple of Sundays. We're going to probably get out of the all things this week and get into the prospering in health and prospering in spirit next week. But in this verse here, it covers 3 different topics. It says here that he wants us to prosper in our health. Anybody want to prosper in their health? Anybody going through anything right now in their health that they want to prosper? They don't want to be having to go through that? I've shared it before. I came back to Illinois. Maybe it's because I'm just kidding. I had high blood pressure. Never had high blood pressure in my life before. They got me on high blood pressure medication. About passed out on the disc golf course. Self-diagnosed. I quit taking the high blood pressure medication. Why? Because my blood pressure dropped. And ever since I quit taking that, my blood pressure has been about 122 over 72, 74, something like that. Instantly healed out there. I want to prosper in my health. That's called prosperity. That's what he says that he will do. He says that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Well, then I got to say, okay, if you said that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, then I have an expectation that I am healed because of the stripes Jesus took. Okay, we're not getting into health prospering today. We're getting into something else. But he's wanting us to prosper spiritual, and then he's wanting us to prosper in all things. This morning, we're going to continue to talk about the all things. But you can't prosper in the all things or the health if you're not prospering spiritually. You got to be prospering spiritually. What's that mean? You got to be spending time with God. You got to be spending time in the Word. You got to be spending time with Him. You got to be spending time walking out what the Word says. Doing those types of, and it's not about doing. I checked my list, my checklist. It's talking about doing those things because you love God. And you want to see people around you blessed. You want to be blessed yourself. So we want to have everything in regards to prospering is dependent on our spirituality. We want to have a well-balanced diet. Now, your well-balanced diet doesn't start with candy, ice cream, and pizza. It should start with the food. Anybody remember the food pyramid when you were in school and all that good stuff there? It should start with the foundation of the good stuff. Well, the good stuff is the Word of God. So, what's it time for? It's time for us just to let it rip. Let it rip with regards to the things of God. Stop playing around with the things of God. Stop being, I'm not saying you are, I'm speaking to me. Because when, just so you know, when I preach a lot of times, I'm preaching at me, reminding myself. But I need to stop playing around with the things of God. If the Bible says it, well, then do it. Rick, do it. Walk it out. Quit playing around. Quit thinking, well, I'm doing okay. I don't really need to do what the Bible says all the time. I've got plenty of money in the bank. Our deepest desires as Christians should be to know and love God more. And when we know and love God more, we will prosper in every area of our lives. My journey, when I retired, it wasn't to retire and just kick back and relax, go on vacations, show up to church twice a month maybe, because I'm out on a trip and doing. And there's nothing wrong with vacations and taking trips. I'm taking one in September. Somebody asked us the other day where we were going. We're going to go a place that we've been wanting to go for a long time. We were supposed to have gone 15, 16 years ago. You can ask me about it later. But that wasn't my journey, to sit back and relax and take trips. My life journey was and is to continue to pursue Christ more now than ever. When I retired, there was no, well, kick back. No, when we retired, I was in the mode of, okay, God, what's next? I know I'm supposed to go to Bible college. When am I going? It was like 5 years after I retired, he said, okay, you can go to Bible college now. But I always had that in me. It's like, what's next, God? What am I going to be doing? Well, then he said, go to Bible college. So I went to Bible college. Who goes and does, a lot of people do, but we start a second, I guess you could say, career after we retired. There's no time to quit. When you see the finish line coming, people always say, Jesus is coming back and he's coming back soon. When you see that finish line, you don't slow down. You speed up. You run faster. You got your eye on that line. You're running as hard as you can there. I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. That's seeking things, spiritual things. And when I seek spiritual things, I prosper in every other area of my life as well. Like I said, Dave read off 15, 16, 17 verses of prosper. That's for us today. What he read to there, that's for us today. That wasn't just for them in the Old Testament. And he read that out of Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 mostly. Go ahead and read that. But I love what it said in that, though. If you hearken unto my words, Oh, so we got to pay attention to what the Bible says. Yeah, we do. But my journey is always going to be 3 John. It's always going to be pursuing spiritual things. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 12. I'm doing just a little bit of recap from a couple of weeks ago, but we are going to get into some new things here as well today. We don't ever want to be in the same place today that we were a year ago. Coming to church, and I come here, and I sit here, and I put in my hour and a half, and I go home, and wait till next Sunday, and come and put in my hour and a half, and go home. We don't ever want to be in that position. We want to leave church on a Sunday morning and think, okay, what I heard on Sunday morning, how do I get to apply that throughout the week? God, give me opportunities. Show me opportunities that I can apply that throughout the week. And when he does, and he will, take advantage of them. But in Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 12, it says, not that I have already, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren and sistren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forgetting those things which are behind, I don't care about all these other things that I did before. I don't care about all those things. Putting those things behind, it's saying here, I'm reaching forward. What's God got out in front of me right now? I'm pursuing him. I'm pursuing spiritual things in his word. His word says, oh man, that's for me? Man, I want to pursue that. I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal. What's our goal? Our goal, end goal, is heaven, and to take as many people with us as we can. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing toward all things natural, and I press toward all things spiritual. I'm pursuing him. I'm not laying down. I'm not resting. If you're a believer, and even if you retire from a job, there is no retirement for a believer. A believer is always pursuing the things of God, always asking God, what's next? What do you want me to do next? But remember, prosperity without eternal purpose, which we just read in Philippians chapter 3 there, it's going to lead to disappointment and dissatisfaction. If you're a believer and you're not pursuing the things of God, you're going to be frustrated. Why is this always happening to me? Now, I will say that when you're pursuing the things of God, you're going to be attacked. You've now become a threat to the devil. And the devil doesn't leave threats alone. He's wanting to knock them off their square. A little term I learned working at the prison. Knock them off their square. He's looking to knock you off your square. He's looking to knock you down. He's looking to keep your mouth shut. I'm not keeping my mouth shut. Anybody else in here got a big mouth like me? Amen. All right, I like big mouth people. We're loud mouths. I like that. But as a believer, one of the first things, and we're gonna start talking about the all things. I just wanted us to focus just for a few minutes there that, man, we got to be pursuing spiritual things. We have to pursue spiritual things if we want to see prosperity in every other area of our lives. And so we're going to, as believers, one of the first things that we should think of in regard to prosperity in our lives, in our personal finances. Everybody, who deals with finances regularly? Who would like to have more finances? Okay. Well, we're going to start with the basics. Prospering in our finances starts with tithes and offerings. Oh, I just touched on a subject there that maybe we don't like. Somebody just cringed right then. And you know what? There are preachers who won't teach on tithes and offerings. They won't teach on giving for fear that it will upset their people, for fear that it will make their people uncomfortable. Well, that's not me. I'm going to teach on it. Why? Because I want to see you blessed in every area of your life. Because the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. The Bible talks about giving. And if we give, the expectation that we can have with regards to our giving. I believe in the whole teaching the whole counsel of God. In Acts 20, verse 27, Paul was talking here. And he says, for I have not shunned or for I have not deliberately avoided, I have not deliberately ignored, or I have not deliberately rejected to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So if the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, and you're going to hear it. How's that sound? And you know what? One of the things that in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says that my people are destroyed for lack of. If you don't know what the Bible says with regards to your personal finances and the prosperity that you can have, because God said it, and we can remind him of his word, he said it. If you don't know anything about that, you can struggle. What did Brother Hagin say? Struggle and barely get along street down by Grumble Alley. You can live on those two streets if you want to, but I don't want to live on those streets, and I'm going to declare the whole counsel of the people in this place here so you don't have to live on those streets either. You know, some will say that we're New Testament believers now. So the idea of tithing and giving, that was done away with. Well, I need to see chapter and verse on that because there is none. What a lot of them will use, and I'll touch on just briefly here, they'll go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And in chapter 9, verse 7, it says, each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart. Okay, that's okay. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Yes, he loves a cheerful giver. But I'm going to show you here in just a few minutes, that has nothing to do with giving to the local church. Ooh, it hadn't been taught that way by a lot of preachers. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about in Genesis chapter 14 how Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, and then we also touched on it a little bit in chapter 7 of Hebrews, a tenth of the spoils. And then we talked about how in Malachi chapter 3 that God said that they were robbing him. The people were robbing him. And he said, well, how are we robbing you? And he says, by your tithes and the offerings. And then he says, put me to the test. You got any fighters in here? Anybody who used to like to fight? There might be a few. They're not raising their hand right now. But you know, for everyone who's right, you have somebody say, kind of threaten you, say, well, come on, try me. Let's see what you got. Let's put it to the test. And then when someone comes forward to put it to the test, you're willing to give them what they've come for, you know? Well, that's what God's saying. He's saying, put me to the test. Bring your tithes, bring your offerings, put me to the test and see if I won't. See if I won't. Anybody ever heard said that? See if I won't do that. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you so much that you can't contain it. And I'm going to rebuke the devourer when he comes to try to take it away from you. Put him to the test. But if we're not tithing and we're not giving our offerings, like it's talking about here in Malachi chapter 3, we don't qualify. We don't qualify for the windows of heaven blessing. If we're not generous people with regards to, we'll talk about offerings. If we're not generous with regards to offerings, whether it's giving to the church, to the building fund, the youth fund, or you see somebody on the street or there's some other organization that's needing help in some way, if we're not generous with our offerings, we're not entitled. We don't qualify for the windows of heaven blessing. Boy, Rick, you're being awful harsh. No, I'm just saying what the Bible says here. So, I give with an expectation. I don't give to get, but I give with an expectation because God said he would do this if I did that. And he's a man of his word. He's not a God that he would lie. Son of man, he should repent. Has he said and he will he not do it? Has he spoken and he will not make it good? Numbers 23:19. If he said it, he's going to do it. So here he said, test me, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. So I give with, in my receive, I give with expectation, and in receiving, I receive with expectation that he will meet all of my needs with extra. I have an expectation, and I'll tell him so. God, you said that if I tithe and if I give offerings, you said that you would open up the windows of heaven toward me and give me a blessing so much I can't contain it. So you said that, so I have an expectation of that. And I, in receiving, I receive with expectation that he'll meet the needs of Life Point Church. You're going to sit here in air conditioning. You're going to sit here in light in, with the lights on. I when that offering comes in, I believe every time when that offering comes in that it'll do the work of the kingdom. It'll keep these doors open, and we'll do extra. Now, in receiving, I receive with expectation that he'll meet the needs of others. He'll use me to meet the needs of someone in need. I want to be used that way. But you see what I'm doing here, though? I'm pursuing spiritual things because I believe it's a spiritual thing to give tithes and to give offerings. And when I pursue spiritual things, then he provides, he prospers me in all other areas. And right now we're talking about finances. We all talked about how we need finances and we would like to have more finances. Well, this is how it starts. So he's saying, put me to the test. And if he's saying, put me to the test, why wouldn't you have an expectation? If somebody says, if you'll do this, then I'll do this, why wouldn't you have an expectation that he will do that? So I'm going to go ahead and do what he says with the expectation that he'll do what he says. I'll prosper, the church will prosper because I'm going to give to the church, and people around me will prosper because I'm going to give to people around me. I have an expectation. We don't ever have to wonder if he'll come through. According to his word, we're going to look at Psalm chapter 50, starting with verse 10. Once again, when I'm in need of something, whether it's finances or whatever it is I'm praying about, I remind him of his word. He tells us to make a case. He tells us to present. And so I present him with one with the most powerful thing, his word. And so I'll say, you know, okay, Lord, I'm in need. We're a little short over here. So here's what I'm going to do. Lord, you said in Psalm chapter 50, verse 10, you said, for the beasts of the forest, I'm going to read what it actually says here, is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Okay, so you're saying that the cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. All the birds are yours. You said that for the world is yours and all the fullness of it. If that's the case, okay, I need you to kill a cow. Because we need some meat in the refrigerator right now. Now, do you talk to God like that? Kinda. You said it, so I'm expecting it. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. If I have access to the word and what it says and the promises that it has toward me and I'm pursuing those things, I can't help but prosper. Whether it's finances, whether it's your mental state, whether you're wanting boldness in your life, there's precedent for praying for boldness, and we prayed for a lady to have boldness, and she had boldness. Paul wanted them to pray for him for more boldness, and they did. But here it says in Haggai 2:8, it says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, the silver and the gold are yours? Father, I'm a little short over here. This Ameren bill is a little steep here this last month. Ameren bill at the church was a little steep back in this last winter. But you know what? I looked at the Ameren bill and I said, all the silver and gold are his. Cattle on 1,000 hills. We're still going to have heat in this place during the winter months here. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, if he's my shepherd and I shall not want, does that indicate lack of any form, shape, or form? No. That says, I won't want for anything. But we serve a God of abundance, and we should remind him of his word. This might sound a little weird to some of you, but we should give God a job. If he said it, let's believe it, and let's have an expectation that he'll go ahead and do it. But if we don't have an expectation of his word and that he'll do something about it, he's going to sit there and he say, okay, I'm waiting for you. You know what it says. Stand on it. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 4 here in a minute. But you know what? If a person doesn't want to tithe and give offerings, just say so. I will never force anybody to give tithes and offerings. The only reason I'm even talking about this right now is I want to see everyone in this place prosper in every area of their life. And the Bible, God says that He wants us to prosper in every area of our lives. I won't force anybody to tithe. Give 10% of my weekly check? I won't force anybody to do it. But if you do, He says He'll open up the windows of heaven. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why? Who is He speaking to? He's speaking to the Philippian people. And why was He speaking to the Philippian people like this? Because they were givers. They met His need. When He was in need, they provided for Him physically. And He speaks back and says, my God, oh my God, will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. According to His riches. What are His riches? All the silver and gold are His. All the cattle on 1,000 hills are His. All the peace of mind is His. All the different things are His. And He'll supply you with every one of those things because you were givers. In Philippians 4, verse 17, it says, now here he prefaced that with what he said here in verse 19. He says, not that I seek the gift. Not that I'm seeking what it is that you're bringing. He says, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Because you are givers, because you want to meet my need, God is going to supply all your... I'm just sitting back and I'm just enjoying watching Him fill you up with whatever you need filled up with. That's what he's seeking. Now, it met his need, but he was more interested in how God was going to bless the people who were giving to him. And so that's where I'm at. I'm going to lay this out, take what you want of it, but it is my desire, my goal, to see each and every one of you walking around this world, because we can be blessed in this world right now, in the day that we live in today, in every single area of our lives. There's no area of our lives that we should ever lack in if we're pursuing spiritual things, pursuing the Word of God. But they gave. But if people are not givers, just expect the fact that you're not going to be blessed the way that the Bible says. I mean, that's just the way it is. Not trying to be harsh, not trying to be blunt. But, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, if you are willing, if you're willing to do what we've been talking about here, pursue spiritual things, do the spiritual things. It says, if you are willing and you are obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You'll not lack. You'll eat good. On the willing part here, if you are ready, I looked up willing. If you are ready, if you are eager, and if you are prepared and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Brother Hagin, some of you don't know who Brother Hagin is. He was, they called him modern-day father of faith, but he hated that title. He didn't like titles. Anyways, a lot of people called him that. But Rhema Bible College, where I went to school, his son actually started the college and started the church, but Brother Hagin was the driving force behind that. And but he was he left his last pastorate in 1949 and went into field ministry. And he wore out, I don't know how many cars, bald tires. He ended up selling his last car for junk just to pay off three loans that he had going currently at the bank. And so he was in field ministry now. God called him out to travel and do field ministry. And he went about telling the Lord about all of his financial woes. Lord, I had it good back there. They gave me a house. They paid for all my food. My kids were clothed well. They paid for all my conventions that I went to. Everything that I needed, everything was fully supplied. Now here I am. My kids are not adequately clothed. I'm living in a little three-room apartment. We're struggling financially. I had it a lot better when I was back in the church. Why am I out here where I'm at? And the Lord told him, said that you're not eating the good of the land because you don't qualify. You're not entitled to the benefits. Of course, Brother Hagin said, what do you mean I don't qualify? I obeyed you. I left the church and I went out in the field ministry. I obeyed you. What do you mean I don't qualify? Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. The Lord told him, that's what it says. But you don't qualify on the, he said, you don't qualify on the willing part. In Malachi 3, once again, it reads, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there is enough, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you don't have a room enough to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Obedience and willingness work together to bring about the blessing. He's telling Brother Hagin here, you were obedient, but you really weren't willing. It didn't take him long to get willing and flip that whole thing around. And once he got willing and obedient, pursued spiritual things, pursued the things of God, he started seeing blessing come back into his life. God looks at the heart. He knows if you're willing. He knows if you're giving grudgingly. I mean, we're referring to 2 Corinthians 9. He knows if you're giving grudgingly. He knows, oh, the preacher's telling me I got to give 10% of my income. The preacher ain't telling you to do anything. Preacher's just telling you what the word says, and it's up to you what you want to do about it. That was 1 Samuel 16:7, talking about giving willingly. So what about 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9? You know, it talks about giving, give what you purpose in your heart, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, let's look a little bit about, look a little bit at the background of that. Paul, you know, he was an apostle. He went around establishing churches. Established a lot of different churches. And he was traveling around with Titus at this moment, at this time. And they were traveling around to the various churches. And they were taking up a collection for the needy people in Jerusalem. They weren't taking up a collection for the local church. They weren't taking up offerings for the local church. They were taking up a collection for the needy people that were in Jerusalem. This passage has nothing to do with tithing. It has nothing to do with giving to your local church. But there are principles in these verses that do apply to our tithes and offerings. But we're going to start reading here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to be reading quite a few verses here. Anybody care if we read the Bible? Okay, good. All right, we're good with the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Once again, he's traveling with Titus and some other people, taking up a collection for the needy people at the church of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They're being tested by many troubles, and they're very poor. But they're also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. The offerings for the believers in Jerusalem. It wasn't for the local church. They even did more than they had hoped for. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us. Oh, so they sought spiritual things first. Okay, that lines up with 3 John. Just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love for us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this. Verse 8. You're giving this freely. It's a free will offering that you're giving to the church of Jerusalem. I'm not commanding that you do this. But I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable. If you give it eagerly and according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. I've got plenty and I can help those in need. That doesn't sound to me like you're giving to the local church. That sounds to me like you're looking to be a blessing to other people. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. That sounds like Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 50. And it sounds to me like Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. We are traveling together to guard against any criticism for the way we are handling this generous gift. We are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone else to see that we are honorable. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help. So if we're preaching that this is the modern day way of tithes, the modern day idea of tithing to your local church, it's not talking about that. For I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was with your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian churches to begin giving. Who says everything's not a competition? That's kind of a joke among some of us. I always say everything's a competition. Walking into Walmart, Carrie and I get out of the car, I got to be the first one through the door. Now I say, I got to be the first through the door because I might have to defend you as we walk through the door. There may be somebody in there that... No, it's really just a competition to get into the door first. Anyway, verse 6 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. How much you're going to give to the church of Jerusalem. You got to decide how much you want to give to help these people out in Jerusalem. Decide in your own heart how much you want to give. If you give a lot, you're going to be blessed a lot. If you give a little, you'll get a smaller blessing. You're blessed in proportion to your giving. That's what it's saying here. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Paul's saying, I'm not pressuring you. Titus says, I'm not pressuring you to give to these people in Jerusalem. You decide what you want to give. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Man, the money we have, is he saying that's not ours to begin with? As believers, he's telling us that's not your money anyway. Saying God gave you the seed. Okay. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way. Sounds to me like 3 John. In all things, health, as long as you're prospering spiritually. So that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers, and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with a deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. So what am I saying? These passages, they have nothing to do with tithing to your local church. It's all about caring for people and being obedient to the word. If you know somebody that's in need, I mean, the Bible talks about it. If you know somebody who doesn't have food and they don't have clothing, and all you say is, oh, God bless you, be warmed and be filled, it says the love of God's not in you. I believe the love of God's in the people in this place here. And I believe that when we pursue spiritual things, I believe that one of the basic things is pursuing spiritual things. We want to seek God, love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But when we're talking about finances here this morning, we're talking about the local church. Well, then we need to pursue God and be obedient to give to the local church. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that tithing was done away with. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, it talks about tithing. And when you get into the Gospels, you get into the epistles, it doesn't say anything about the tithing being done away with. There's people who talk about, you know, laying hands on the sick, that's been done away with. Speaking in tongues has been done away with. Well, if that's been done away with, then being born again, being saved has been done away with, because it's in the same passage. Mark 16, 15 through 20 talks about it. If one's been done away with, then it all has to be done away with. Nowhere does it talk about tithing has been done away with. Am I going to force people to tithe? No. But do I want to present something to them to where they can be blessed in all areas of their lives? Yes. I seek the benefit that you'll get from what the Word says. Billy Graham stated one time, he said, God will bless the 9/10, which you get to keep, when a believer tithes, enabling it to go further than 10/10 without his blessing. He's going to bless my 9/10. I don't even know, this isn't really even a fraction, but he's going to give me 500/10. If I would have kept the 10/10, if I'd have not tithed at all, thinking, man, I got to hold that back. Well, that's $200 this week. I can't give to the church $200. I got to have that for this and this and this. Well, you might be able to meet this, this, and this, but then there's something else is always going to come up. You're going to meet somebody in need, and you're not going to be able to help them because you don't have what it takes, because you didn't qualify, because I didn't qualify. I want to qualify in every area. He blesses my 9/10. God blesses my 9/10. A lot of crossover principles in these verses that we looked at here in 2 Corinthians that takes care of spirit, soul, and body. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37. I mean, God wants to bless us every way, around every corner. When we're pursuing Him, when we're pursuing spiritual things, when we're seeking Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're looking to love our neighbors ourselves, He's going to meet every need, and He wants to meet it. He's going to bless us around every corner. In verse 37, it says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Some may say this is talking about judging. It is. But it's a biblical spiritual principle that crosses over into all areas of your life. If I give of my time, then I'm going to get an abundance of time. If I give of my resources, I'm going to get an abundance of resources back. If I don't judge somebody, I won't be judged. These are biblical principles that apply to various areas of our lives. I'm seeking the fruit that will abound to your account at this moment. Galatians chapter 6 in the Amplified Version. It says, the one who is taught the word of God is to share all good things with his teacher. A lot of preachers don't want to preach that one. I'm teaching you the word of God. It says that you're supposed to share with me all good things, naturally and spiritually. Whoo! Okay. I was just picking up the spoils there. Never mind. I'm joking. Can somebody laugh just once? I need somebody to laugh with me. I need somebody to connect with me right now. I feel like I'm hitting it hard. Maybe you're all just thinking really hard. It says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with his teacher. contributing to his spiritual and material support. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and only this is what he will reap. If you're sowing finances, you will reap finances. If you're sowing joy, you'll reap joy. If you're sowing encouragement to people, you'll receive encouragement. You can go ahead and get those guys, Dave. Now, some would say, you know, that an exhaustive teaching on tithing, it's not in the New Testament. Why did it stop with the Old Testament? Why didn't they continue into the New Testament talking about tithing? We just gave you a bunch of books back here talking about it. Why do we need to keep talking about it? You know what it is, or I know what it is. You know what it is. In John chapter 21, verse 25, says, Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. There's a lot of things that Jesus could have said, could have done, could have taught. It wouldn't have been enough books to contain everything that it is that needed to be taught. He's given us his word. And we have enough word right now. If we would just pursue spiritual things with regards to his word, that would keep us occupied for a long time. When we get to heaven, it says, we'll know as we are known. So he's covered most of it in the New Testament. I'm not going to read Deuteronomy 28. I was going to read it, but Dave's already covered that. But what I'm trying to get across here today is that in 3 John, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Our spiritual life has to be prospering. We need to be pursuing the things of God. And when you struggle in life, as long as you're pursuing the things of God, you have his word on the inside of you, that when that struggle comes about, you speak out that word, and the word, when it goes out, it won't return to void. It'll accomplish what it was set to do, and it says it will prosper in everything which it was sent. So I believe, I have an expectation that as I give, we're talking about money here today, we're going to be talking about some other things here in the next couple of weeks, but we're talking about money today because we all agreed we'd like to have a little bit more. Well, if that's the case, then we need to be obedient to the word. And we need to do away with some teaching that we may have gotten in the past that isn't correct. I believe that's one thing that Satan tries to do. He tries to give us teaching, things that tickle our ears, whatever, just to get us off track, to keep us away from what the Bible says and what the Bible has said and continues to say. And so I believe that we're going to be blessed. We're blessed people in this place.